Praise the Lord. Jesus is Lord. This is Dr. Ruth. Thank you for joining me today. We continue with my verse-by-verse teaching out of the Gospel of Luke, the ministry of Jesus Christ. If this is your first time, thank you for joining me. And today we pick it up here in Luke chapter 12. We pick it up in verse 22. Hopefully you have listened to the previous session, because this is really a continuation, and I really recommend that after today's session, you listen to the previous session if you have not done so. So what is the gist of this upcoming verses? The Lord Jesus would talk about worrying, and he would teach us not to be worried. Okay, so essentially it's about overcoming anxiety, which is a pervasive problem today in the 21st century. And friend, before I even continue, I want to recommend a book to you, which I wrote, I believe a year and a half ago, that will really, really help you. It's a Bible teaching book on how to overcome crises, worrying, and how to trust the Lord. This book is simply titled Call to Endure with Joy, Overcoming Crisis God's Way, How to Allow Christ Jesus to Work It Out for You. This book, if you live overseas, please get it from Amazon. But if you live in the continental USA, get it from us. We are only asking for a donation of $20. To get this book. And this book will really help you how to stay focused on the Lord, taking your eyes off of problems, to stop worrying. It's a Bible teaching handbook how to deal with day-to-day crises and problems. It will really only take you about 3 to 4 hours to read this book. This is a keeper. It's a book that is loaded with scriptures, how to stand and trust God. Boy, we've had a lot of testimonies about this book, how it really gave people practical tools how to deal with day-to-day anxieties. So I really recommend you get it. Again, Call to Endure with Joy, Overcoming Crisis God's Way, How to Allow Christ Jesus to Work It Out for You. So please visit our safe and secure website, drruthtanyi.org/donate. We are also on Cash App. The address there is the $ Dr. Ruth Tanyi, and we do receive donations through Zelle. If you live in the continental USA, the telephone number is 909-501-9031. We will attach this in the description box so you can click and visit our website. We thank you in advance for purchasing this book, which comes to us as a donation of $20, we will ship it to you. It will really bless you, and thank you in advance for doing that. And again, keep in mind, whatever you get through the ministry as a purchase of books comes, the money comes right back into the ministry. We put it right back into this podcast to help us to produce these programs. So we thank you for doing that. Get it as a gift for somebody. Get multiple copies. It will really bless you. Okay, so we get back here to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 12, verse 22. Let us begin. Then Jesus said to his disciples, therefore, I tell you, let me pause. Therefore, now, each time you study God's word, whenever you see a therefore, it is there for a reason. So it's good to go back and study the previous session or get a better idea of at least the last few verses to figure out why it says therefore, because it's there for a reason. Now, to give you context, in the previous session, which I really recommend you go listen to that after today's session, the Lord Jesus had done a phenomenal teaching about the parable of the rich fool. And he had talked about, towards the end of that teaching, how trusting God with our possessions is the key to our existence. Essentially, that's really the take-home message there. So the Lord Jesus had been talking about trusting the Lord. So he continued this whole line of thought, or this train of thought, if you will, which is why he said, therefore. So I'm going to go back and just reread verse 22. Then Jesus said to his disciples, therefore, I tell you. So now that you have an idea, therefore what? Therefore, as he had been teaching for us to trust God wholeheartedly and not possessions, to trust God wholeheartedly with every tiny details of our life. So the Lord Jesus, in context, is now saying, therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat, or about your body, what you will wear. Exactly. So the Lord Jesus is saying that trust God with your mundane, day-to-day, daily needs. God has to be looked upon as our provider. We should not be worrying about what we are going to eat or wear. Essentially, Jesus is saying that God loves us enough that even our daily needs, God is aware of that, and he wants us to trust God. Okay, verse 23. For life is more than food, and the body more than clothes. Exactly. Verse 24. Consider the ravens, they do not sow or reap. They have no storeroom or barn, yet God feeds them. Isn't that awesome? Think about that. So many times we read the scriptures in a hurry, but just pause to just let what I just read get right into your heart. The Lord Jesus is like, consider the ravens, the birds. The birds do not sow or reap. They have no store, room or barn, yet God feeds them. Isn't that something? Let us continue. And how much more valuable you are than the birds. Exactly. The Lord Jesus is making a phenomenal comparison. If God, your heavenly Father, can feed the birds, what about you? Created in his image, what about you? His beloved child, whom he loves so much, whom he loves enough to die on the cross for. Have you considered that when you're worrying about, am I going to have enough groceries and am I going to have enough money to pay the rent? Have you considered the absolute truth, what the Lord Jesus is saying here? God loves you enough. He died for you. He created you in his image. He knows you have that need. Don't worry about it. So let's find out what the Lord Jesus will tell us to do. So we are now in verse 25. Who of you by worrying can add a single hour in your life? Isn't that something? What Jesus is saying is, what does it benefit you to worry? Can you add a single day to your existence? You can't. Worrying is absolutely irrational. It is illogical because now if you're worrying about something, you can do something about, well, you should not even worry about it. Just do something about it, such as if you don't have a job, well, step out and find a job and trust God to open doors. If you're worrying about something that you have no control over, the Lord Jesus is saying that, can you change that circumstance? You can't. Why worry about something that you have no control anyway? Why worry, period? Wow. Moving on, verse 26. Since you cannot do the very little thing, why do you worry about the rest? So true, exactly what I was talking about. If you cannot change a circumstance, especially worrying about other people, especially worrying about the outcome of something, there are so many things we worry about. We worry about money, we worry about our children, we worry about our relationships, we worry about, am I going to lose my job? Well, you have no control over those things. As a child of God, God has absolute control over your life. So Jesus is saying, why are you worrying about things that you don't have any control anyway? You know what worrying is? It's taking your eyes off of Jesus and focusing on your problems. Worrying is a faith issue. You're struggling how to trust God in that area of your life. And the Lord Jesus will make this so clear. So this is a little tip I'm telling you. When you start to worry about any area of your life, it's a guard to say, oh, I release it. I'm going to trust God in this area of my life. Okay? So let's see how the Lord Jesus continues. We are in verse 27. Consider how the wild Flowers grow, they do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you, not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. The flowers, God just created them. They just proud, beautifully appearance looking. They don't worry about how they look. God has just created them in such a way that their beauty just blossom. Likewise, God has created you in such a way that if you can just trust him, he will care for you without you worrying about things that you have no control over anyway. You know what worrying will do? It will lead to ulcers, send you to an earlier grave, lead to headaches. Oh, and Satan loves it when we worry, because that's just an open door. Because as I mentioned earlier, worrying is just an evidence that you don't trust God in that area of your life. And Satan will get in there and plant all kind of thoughts that are lies and cause you to worry even more. It's a vicious circle that needs to be broken by just casting whatever is tempting you to be worried about, casting that thing to the Lord. Okay, so we are now in verse 28. If that is how God clothes the grass and the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, how much more will he clothe you, you of little faith? Exactly what I was saying. If God can care for his own creation, the flowers, the birds, what about you? The crown of his love, mankind, created in his image, died for your sins. You see, God cares for us. Do you believe that? And the Lord Jesus ended that verse by saying, you of little faith. As I mentioned, he is linking worrying with little faith. The little faith here is a weak faith. It's a person who has not strengthened his or her faith. It's a person who is not meditating on God's promises that pertains to their problems. And as a result, their faith in that area is weak. It's little. You know the solution? Whatever is causing you to worry, cast it to the Lord. Get into God's word. Look for a corresponding promise. You meditate on it. And meditation simply means you just think about it. You think about it, you ponder on it over and over, you saturate the truth out of God's word into your mind, and not that thing that is causing you to worry. Are you getting this? As you start to focus on the promises of God, your faith will be strengthened. Fear and anxiety will leave you. That is exactly how it works, because faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. As you study the word of God, you meditate on the word of God, you listen to the word of God, your faith will be strengthened. Whatever is causing you to be fearful, anxious, will leave you effortlessly. That's just it. The opposite of anxiety is truth found in God's word. So don't be afraid. Trust God's promises. God is faithful. Verse 29, and do not set your heart on what you will eat or drink. Do not worry about it. Exactly. So the Lord Jesus is teaching us how to guard our hearts, how not to focus on our problems, which is why he is saying, do not set your heart on things. Man, if you focus on your problems, if you focus on circumstances, if you focus on things round and about you, it will cause anxiety or worry. Jesus is like, don't focus on those things. Focus on me, the solution. Oh, man, are you getting this? Never focus on your problems. You probably have heard this before, and I have taught this severally. Do not focus on your problems. Focus on the solution, Jesus Christ, the Word of God. It's only as you focus on the solutions that your problems will leave. And they do. God takes care of them without you even knowing how. But the more you focus on your problems, the more the problems get magnified, the more you get anxious, the more you get afraid, the more you just get crippled. Okay. You get the point, right? So the Lord Jesus continues now. We are in verse 34. Pagan world runs after all such things, and your Father knows that you need them. Exactly. So the Lord Jesus is like, The pagans, i.e. the unbelievers, are the ones who run after things. They worry about things. They focus on things. But that is not how you, a child of God, that is not how you, a beloved child of God, should think or act. Don't focus on those things like pagans. You are a child of God, Jehovah Elohim. Jehovah Jireh, your provider. Jehovah Shalom, God of peace. Jehovah Jireh, Jehovah Rapha, God Almighty is your Father. He owns everything. Don't act like unbelievers that are focusing on things. Focus on God. God cares. God knows what your needs are. Focus on Him and He will make sure your needs are met. Now, let's see how the Lord Jesus continue here. Powerful here. But seek His kingdom, talking to God. And these things will be given to you as well. Phenomenal passage of scripture here. Seek first the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be given to you. I'm quoting it the way Matthew stated it in Matthew 6:33. This is one of my life's scripture. When I was fighting cancer, this was the scripture that set me free. As I focus on Jesus Christ, my healer, as I focus on the truths in God's word, that by the stripes of Jesus, I was already healed. Healing was manifesting in my body effortlessly. And if you were to purchase my book in one of our conferences, or when I meet people who purchase my book, I always sign Matthew 6:33, because it is that scripture that changed my life. I learned that I don't need to chase after things. In the kingdom of God, we don't chase things. We chase the King, Jesus Christ, and things manifest in our life. That is exactly what the Lord Jesus is saying. Do not seek things as pagans do. Rather, seek the kingdom of God. Now, let's talk about this briefly here. What is the kingdom of God? The kingdom of God is God's rulership, dominion, and influence over the heavens and the earth. God owns it all, right? But as a child of God, the kingdom of God indwells on the inside of you. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit has taken up residence on the inside of you the moment you confess faith in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. So the kingdom of God is in you. The kingdom of God is a spiritual domain and a physical domain. But we know that in the here and now, the kingdom of God is in us, okay? And then at the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, He will come and establish His physical kingdom here. But right now, the kingdom of God is God's power and authority that you have on the inside of you through the power of the Holy Spirit. Are you getting this? Because God indwells in you. So the Lord Jesus is saying that we should not seek things. As children of God, we should not seek things. We should seek the kingdom of God. How? That word seek there is an active verb. Seek, the Lord Jesus is telling us to seek godly revelations, to seek understanding how the kingdom of God operates in the here and now. We should seek to appropriate God's promises, which are all available to us through Christ. They are yes and amen. 6,000 to 7,000 promises in the word of God. We should actively pursue and seek understanding how to receive God's promises. We should seek knowledge how to grow in our relationship with God, how to grow in our faith. We should seek how to change our thinking so we can think as kingdom children. We should think like believers. We should think like children of the Most High God. We should think as true followers of Jesus Christ. We are joint heirs with Christ. Whatever belongs to Jesus Christ belongs to us. We should change the way we think and act so we reflect Christ-like mannerisms. Are you getting this? As an example, in the kingdom of God, things are opposite from the world. In the kingdom of God, it says to become prosperous, you serve. To become wealthy financially, you give. Are you getting this? In the kingdom of God, we are already healed physically, mentally, emotionally, spiritually. We don't beg God for healing. We change our thinking. We just position ourselves by thinking as children of God, and we just receive God's promises, which are available, and they are yes and amen through Christ Jesus. So, That is what the Lord Jesus is saying, that we should seek God's kingdom and all things shall be given to us. Unfortunately, so many Christians are seeking things just like the pagans do. So many Christians are seeking and begging God for his blessings when he has already blessed us. So when you start to think as a child of God, as a kingdom citizen, this is not our final destination. We are travelers. We live in this world, but we are not of this world. We have to think as Christians. Everything is available to us. Do you believe that? When you start to change the way you think, anxiety will leave you. Fear will leave you. Oh, man, I hope you're getting this. As an example, today, if you're struggling with lack, ask yourself, if you're joined heir with Christ, the Bible says all of the promises of God are yes and amen. Obviously, it is not God's will that you should have lack in any area of your life. Ask yourself, why are you having lack? Have you been hoarding money? Mm-hmm. Are you lazy? Because God is not going to bless laziness. The Bible is so clear. A man doesn't work, a man doesn't eat, period. Mm-hmm. Have you been giving into God's work as the Lord Jesus said, give, it shall be given to you, good measure, pressed and shaken? Are you giving? Or are you a Christian who is acting as an unbeliever? Well, if you are a Christian who is not giving, who is not serving, who is not acting as a believer, well, then maybe that's why you have lack. Are you getting this? Because in the kingdom of God, we should have no lack as we do things God's ways. Okay? And if you're doing things God's ways, you're giving into God's work, you're serving, you're trusting the Lord, you are submissive to his teachings, and you are not seeing the results, I can tell you right now, based on the authority of God's word, the blessings are coming. They are there. They will manifest in God's perfect timing. Take heart. Don't give up. God is faithful. Okay? So we should have no lack. We should not seek after things. Things should chase us because it's God's will. It's God's pleasure to bless us. He loves us. Do you receive that? But if you know how much God wants to bless you, you will stop worrying. God is a good, good father. Okay, we move on here. We are now in verse 32. Do not be afraid, the Lord Jesus continues, little flock, for your Father has been pleased to give you the kingdom. Exactly what I just explained. All good is from God. God is so pleased to bless us. As I mentioned, we are joint heirs with Christ. We should not be anxious. If we just live the way God wants us to live, number one, obedience, submit to him, the blessings should chase us. Wow, this is God's will. Verse 33, the Lord Jesus continued, sell your possessions and give to the poor. Provide purses for yourself that will not wear out, a treasure in heaven that will never fail, where no thief comes near and no moth destroys. Let me pause. Let me explain this. The Lord Jesus is not saying that you should go sell all your possession to prove that you're a Christian. That's not what he is saying. There's a principle here. The principle that the Lord Jesus is saying is, as you seek God, as you obey God, as you submit to the promptings of the Holy Spirit, the love of God will flow from God to you and you would care for one another. You would express godly love towards others. You would give to others. That is really the heart of God. Exactly, that's what the Lord Jesus is saying. Sell your possessions and give to the poor. When you have what somebody else needs, you give. That is how we live in the kingdom of God. That's the heart of God. When you see your brethren struggling with something, you give to them. If you have to sell something that you don't need, even if you have to sell something you need as an act of love, you sell and bless somebody else who has more of a need than you do. The Lord Jesus is just saying that as we live in this world as children of light, expressing God's love, caring for one another, we would be living as kingdom citizens, we would be focused on God, and God would bless us beyond our wildest imagination. That's the principle there. This is not saying that you should go sell everything and give to the poor. Well, if God wants you to do that, do that. But the principle here is to care for one another, care for others' needs. And then he also said that, be certain that your treasures are in heaven. What is a treasure? A treasure is something that is valuable to you. Make sure that you plant heavenly seeds, not earthly seeds, because heavenly seeds are priceless. Earthly seeds are going to rot and they can be stolen. That's exactly what the Lord Jesus is saying. What are examples of heavenly seeds? Praying for somebody, caring for one another, expressing agape love towards one another. Mm-hmm. That is the things that the Lord Jesus is saying that we should focus on. Giving into God's work financially, blessing God, blessing churches, blessing the ministry of Jesus Christ with our finances so that we can advance the kingdom of God. So many can be saved. That is a great commission. That would be planting heavenly seeds. That would be planting your treasures in heaven where no one can steal. Do you believe in these things? I often tell people that I have such a phenomenal bank account in heaven than I have on earth. It's the truth, because I focus more on heavenly seeds than on earthly seeds. Because as I plant into people's lives, as I give into God's work, guess what? God is so faithful, it comes back to me 100-fold. I hope you can do that. When you start to live that way, it's so much blessing. It's so much a blessing to give than to receive. Then you will start to enjoy the joy of giving and the joy of obeying God. And you're going to be amazed how God will bless you. Oh, come on, somebody. Okay, we come to the last verse there in this section. The Lord Jesus said, we are in verse 34. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. So true. This is such a principle that wherever your values are, your heart will follow. If your heart is on earthly things, guess what? That's what you value. But if your heart is on godly things, if your heart is focused more on the kingdom of God, advancing the kingdom of God, growing as a child of God, if that's where your heart is, that's where your treasure is, that's where you're gonna put into God's work. That's the value that you would pursue. Is this making sense? So let me say the other way around. If you value the things of God, that is where your heart will go. If you value the things of God, you would consider to give into God's work first before you go spend that $200 for a pair of shoes, or before you go spend that $50 to purchase a cup of coffee or whatever. I don't know. I don't know what those things cost. I don't even drink that kind of coffee. But there are people who go to places like Starbucks and they pay $20 just on coffee, and they go to church and they give God $1. That is a shame. I have seen this. I've seen people spend $100 on a pair of sneakers and then they go to church and they give God $2. Then you know what? You don't value the things of God. You don't value the kingdom of God. Then your treasures are not in the kingdom of God. It is in the worldly things. Are you getting this? When your heart is set to value the things of God, that's where your treasure will be. That's where you want to give. You would want to serve. You want to pray for one another. You would want to partake in advancing God's kingdom. That's just a bottom line. So we need to be certain how our heart is leading us. As children of God, we have to make sure that our heart is focused more towards the things of the kingdom of God, so that our treasures, our valuable treasures, money, time, prayer towards one another should be focused on the kingdom of God, not wasted. Okay? So I'm going to end this session here. So what is the key principle, or what are the key principles and applications we've learned here? I want to just talk about overcoming anxiety. I have, 5 key principles and application on overcoming anxiety on a daily basis. As I mentioned earlier, anxiety, the root cause of anxiety is really not focusing on God, focusing on your problems. Mm-hmm. That's just really what it is. So how do we deal with this? Number one, know that God is absolutely aware of the things you're concerned about. Don't dwell on your problems. Don't focus on your problems. Focus on God. Cast your care and focus on God. Number two, learn to trust God's providence. Learn to trust God's presence. Learn to trust God's omnipresence, omnipotence. God is all-powerful, all-knowing, God is with you. He has promised that he will never leave or forsake you. Trust that. Oh boy. As an example, if you have a tendency to worry, you know what you should do? Simple exercise. Just tell yourself, God is with me. I will not worry. God has this in control. God is with me. I will not worry. As you say that over and over, you remind yourself that anxiety spirit will depart from you. Number three, which is a piggyback to the previous one, be certain that you don't delve into focusing on your problems. Focus on the solutions. For each thing that causes you anxiety, go to God's word and find a solution. The word of God has the answers to all of our problems. Find the answer and focus on the answer. Don't dwell on your problems. Acknowledge your problems, recognize your problems, cast it to the Lord, and focus on the solutions. Because we don't want to ignore problems. That's stupidity. You acknowledge them, but you tell yourself that God is bigger than your problems. And God loves you enough that he already knows that this problem exists and he is already taking care of it. But he wants you to relax and trust him. Okay? So we're moving to the fourth one here. Don't seek after things. Seek the kingdom of God. I kind of talked a lot about that, so let's just move on. And the fifth one, make it a daily habit to focus on growing in faith. And how do you do that? Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. Study the scripture, ponder on the scripture, and allow God's word to strengthen you. That way you can easily overcome anxiety and don't allow Satan to kill, steal, and destroy you. God loves you. He will never leave or forsake you. I hope you receive this, friend. I want to end this session here today because I want for you to really meditate on what we have covered. But please, I want to remind you to visit our safe and secure website and get the book, Call to Endure with Joy, Overcoming Crisis God's Way. How to allow Christ Jesus to work it out for you. This is a Bible teaching book that offers practical skills how to deal with day-to-day worries, how to overcome day-to-day crisis. It's a book you can read in 3 to 4 hours. It's a teaching handbook loaded with scriptures. It's a book that I promise you would want to keep. So get multiple copies to bless others. It comes to us as a donation for $20. That includes shipping and handling. If you live overseas, please get it from Amazon. If you live in the USA, please visit our safe and secure website, drruthtani.org/donate. We are also on Cash App. The address is the $ Dr. Ruth Tani. And on Zelle, we receive donations through Zelle. That telephone number is 909-501-9031. I thank you in advance for blessing us with purchasing this book, as it will bless you and bless us, because all the purchase you get from us come to us as a donation. Or I just pray and ask that you just bless us with a one-time donation so we can put into this podcast and pay for studio time. I pray you open your heart to do so as you are being blessed by these teachings. Would you consider that? We thank you in advance. Father, we thank you, for you are such a good God. I lift up all the listeners. We thank you for the God that even before we deal with crisis, even before we encounter crisis, you already know and have made the solutions available to us. We thank you for the God that you love us enough, that you just want us to trust you, and all of our problems will be taken care of. That is a promise. So, Father God, I lift up everyone today. I pray for the Holy Spirit to enable us to stand on these promises today, that we can trust you and cast our cares to you, that all of our needs shall be taken care of, because you love us. You want to bless us. Help us to just open our hearts, to humble ourselves, to be obedient to you, and just receive the blessings as we focus on you. Thank you, Father God, for all the listeners. I pray that this teaching today has been a blessing to them and has truthfully encouraged them. Thank you for just blessing them with a blessed day. Thank you for all the listeners. And we have prayed in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And everybody says, Amen. God loves you. Please listen to the announcer and learn more about the ministry, how you can help us financially so we can produce more programs and advance God's kingdom. God loves you.
As you have been blessed, can you bless us back with a financial donation so we can produce more teachings and bless others in return? This program is solely sponsored by the financial donations from friends and listeners like you. We need your financial support in order to reach more people with Dr. Ruth's simple but profound life-changing messages. To make a one-time donation, visit our website, drruthtanyi.org. That's drruthtanyi.org. Look for the donation button and donate right there. It is a very secure, simple, and easy process. Or, for more of an impact, would you prayerfully consider becoming a Christ-centered monthly partner with us? While on our website, you will find all of the information about becoming a Christ-centered partner. As a monthly partner, your regular prayers and financial support will enable us to produce more Bible teachings in order to reach more people and transform their lives with God's Word. For those of you who prefer regular mail, you can send your donation to us. Here's the address: Dr. Ruth Tanyi Ministries, P.O. Box 1806, Loma Linda, California, 92354. You can also email us with your questions about becoming a partner. Here's the email address: info@drruthtanyi.org. That's info@drruthtanyi.org. Or you can always call us at 909-383-7978. Dr. Ruth Tanyi Ministries is a federal government-approved 501c corporation, which means that all your donations are 100% tax-deductible as allowed by the law. We thank you in advance for your kind donation and prayers. We pray for God's love and presence to anchor your soul today in Christ Jesus. I am Chris Oram. Stay blessed, and goodbye for now.